Thank you for tuning in to the second hour. We're talking with Mark Gray, and we are on the trail here, if you will, of the missing plane MH370. And we were just kind of getting to Ukraine, really, and piecing together the different signatures of Neptune in the world events that has been unfolding in the last, 2014, really. Let's just pick up where we left off, Mark, and see where this story goes.
Where this picks up is we're now at March 1st of this year, and March is really important because what we need to remember is that March is, of course, named after the god Mars, the god of war. Things are heating up in the Ukraine. March was the month when the Romans would take the winter off and the men would suit up and they would head off to war. So why would that be any different these days? Well, it wasn't, because on March 1st, Russia moves troops into Crimea. So I looked into Crimea, and I found that the root of the word Crimea is actually, it used to be called Taurus, which is the bull. And right away I'm thinking, wow, Crimea is now going to be sacrificed like a bull, because when you read about the god Mars, one of the things that they would do before the men would march off into war, they would slaughter a bull. So now Crimea, which is known as the bull, or called the bull in the roots of its name, is now being occupied and taken over by Russia and being controlled. I thought that was extremely important, particularly when we look at the word march and we think of soldiers. They don't walk. What if soldiers do? They march. And we also think of words like martial law, which comes from the god Mars. And don't forget back at the Super Bowl that Bruno Mars sang while the sign flashed, prepare for the strike, while the planet Mars, the god of war, was directly overhead at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
On Mars, while we're on the Mars, on March 1st, not only did Russia invade, but the headlines read that there's 28 dead and 113, there's our number, 113 injured after a gang of knife-wielding men attack a train station in China. And I thought, goodness, I feel bad for those people, but what a wild way to start off the month of war, the month of March, as all these people end up getting killed. But the number 113 shows up again. Don't forget that's the number of Philip Hoffman, who eventually can pull all these numbers together. Also on March 1st, it was announced in headlines that Gwen Stefani, the famous singer, gave birth to a son, and the headlines were she gave birth to a son whose name is now Apollo. So she names her son Apollo, who's the sun god, who we saw in the Olympics on March 1st. The next day on March 2nd, in horse news, the Queen of England's favorite polo player, Carlos Gracita, who taught William and Harry how to play, dies in a freak accident in Florida after his horse falls on top of him during a match. Now, something like that planned? No, but is there energy? Is there bizarrety in the world? To me, as we're following the horse and for the Queen of England's favorite polo player to die by a freak horse accident as we're doing all this, is extremely strange, but there it is. And I look at, there's pictures of him with the princes, William, Harry, Charles, and of course he has, wears the number 3, and on his sleeve 3, there's our 33, and he's riding the white horse. I typed in his name, Carlos Gracita, comes up 666. I don't think the man is an evil man. He just, these numbers don't necessarily, is 666 evil? It could be. 666 is also the, 666 is the number of man. It's all of us. 666. Headlines also that in Venezuela, whose symbol on their coat of arms is the white horse, is in a complete uproar. There's protests going on there. I type in Venezuela, 666 following the code. The next day, March 3rd, the first Russian ship enters Crimea. And on the side, it's headlines in the Daily News, the side of the ship, the first ship to arrive on the scene is ship 911. You can't write this stuff any better. So the idea that they would send their first ship and it's ship 911 staggers the mind. Do the Russians know the code? Are the Russians doing that to taunt America, to taunt the headlines by sending ship 911? And they enter and pull into, am I saying this right, Sevastopol, is the name of the port, and Sevastopol, when entered, gives the code 1166, which is part of the 911 code. On March 5th, I saw magically the headlines on the Los Angeles Times. The United States gives $1 billion in aid to the Ukraine, and the headlines are, who are we, Santa Claus? because the U.S. is in so much debt and we're now giving $1 billion to the Ukraine. I looked up Ukrainian money and found, bizarrely enough, that Ukrainian money actually has the pyramid with all-seeing eye exactly like America does. And I thought, wow, they have the same pyramid and all-seeing eye that we do. Maybe we're not so different after all. Then it was announced that the Ukraine was going to participate in some military exercises that apparently occur every year. And the Ukraine's military exercises that are on the headline are called Rapid Trident. I enter in, and there's our trident again, by the way, military exercises. So we got Russia moving into Crimea. We've got the European nations and the United States joining together in these exercises where troops and planes, ships are all moving into the area. The tensions are getting high. The tridents are being shown everywhere. Horses are appearing. I entered in Rapid Trident, and here's another code we have to follow. Rapid Trident comes out to 138. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but remember I said the end of the Olympics showed a grandfather clock. The clock said 8:13, which is 8:13. Big Ben with Peter Pan going into Neverland was 8:13. And now we are being presented with Rapid Trident, which is just those numbers scrambled, which is part of the code. You can scramble the numbers. So if you've got like 813, you could also say 381 or 831, 318, 183, or 138. Once those numbers are there, you can, and there's three digits, you can switch them any way you want, and they'll start to show up. So Rapid Trident, 138. The end of the Sochi Olympics, 813. And I happen to know from looking before that the term order out of chaos is also 183. This will become extremely important because it'll show up later with the plane over and over. There's about four codes of three-digit numerical codes that are reversed and switched. For example, they say that the aircraft carrier George H.W. Bush was in the area, and they've decided to keep it there because of the escalation. It was a headline. I type in George H.W. Bush, and it's 138, same as Rapid Trident. So Brotherhood of Darkness, 813. So here's these connections with 813 and 318 appearing, and it's what they, I believe the numbers do, like a spider webbing or a networking. They connect these particular words together. And of course, these three-digit numerical codes are connecting because look what we're talking about. The aircraft carrier George H.W. Bush, Order Out of Chaos, Brotherhood of Darkness, and Rapid Trident, and the closing of the Olympic ceremonies are now numerically connected through not only with letters, but now through numbers. Very powerful. So where are we at? March 7th. We all know what happens on March 7th. In our time in America, it was actually March 8th. There is a plane that comes up missing. And this is what we all wanted to talk about, what we wanted to get to.
Right.
And the first thing that strikes everybody is the tail of the plane. And the tail of the plane has two tridents shaped in such a way that they create the effect of showing the number 33. So we got 33 in a trident on this Malaysia airline flight 370. People right away are commenting, it's bizarre that flight 370 has now disappeared somewhere on the date of March 7th, which is also 37. So we have numbers that are starting to match. So now we have our tridents. We have the God Neptune, we have the Maserati commercial, we have the 9/11 memorial with its two tridents that's yet to be revealed. We have the.
By the way, just sorry to interrupt. Just occurs to me here, but it's 370, so it's March 37, and remove the zero, you have March 7th right there.
Exactly, that's correct. So the flight number itself actually tells the date. And don't forget, during the Olympics, they said expect something really big and out of this world. It's going to happen. They said it a week earlier on March 7th.
Yep.
The commercial flashed, said, get ready on March 7th. Now we're at March 7th, and here's the big event.
What was that ad for, though? Was that revealed, what that was for?
That ad was for the revealing of a new movie that was going to come out, Sherman and Peabody. It was a cartoon, but the cartoon itself was about Sherman and Peabody build a time-traveling device, and they show them disappearing and appearing in this vortex of energy. And it said, get ready for the event of the century on March 7th. It's going to happen. And they're bleeping in and out of this dimension. And sure enough, on March 7th, the plane bleeped out of our dimension. Very strange that that would even happen.
Right.
So here we have our symbolic key, the trident. Don't forget that in the Super Bowl, it told us to prepare. It showed us the trident and said, get ready for all of this to happen. And now we have a plane that completely disappears. And I'm looking at this trident, and it's 33, and I'm looking at the name Malaysia. And I'm like, why does Malaysia sound familiar? And I'm like, oh, it's the word malaise. So I look up in the dictionary and the word malaise, and it's a feeling of general discomfort or uneasiness of being out of sorts. Generally speaking, malaise expresses your patient's feeling that something's not right. It's like a general warning signal. That's the definition of malaise. Now we got Malaysia Airlines, and I'm looking at pictures of all these families crying, screaming, where's the flight? Oh my God, where did they go down? And now the mystery starts because they start looking for the plane. And as you know, it turns, it disappears, it goes off radar.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happening. And of course, it fits perfectly the definition of malaise, that something's not wrong, that something's not right.
And it feels to me as well that they really, I mean, the hype around this story is just extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's talk about something going viral in the mainstream media, if you will. I mean, and everyone sitting in these like simulators and trying to figure out what happened. And I mean, sure, it's an interesting thing. I mean, a lot of people fly there. They're concerned. We want to try to find what happened. It is a, you know, story that needs to be followed. But the focus on it, like the rest of the world has just, you know, fallen, you know, blind, and this is the only thing that occurs, kind of suggests as well that there is a point to having a lot of people focusing on this thing as well, correct?
I agree, and it's extremely powerful, because if I take object A and move it over to a different point, and it's at a different point in position B over here, it goes from A to B, we can rationalize that. But when I have object A, and then object A, like a magic trick, disappears, now we don't have anything to work with, and as humans, that's baffling to us. We want to solve the problem, and we can't think about anything else about where did it go. That's why magic is so amazing, right?
Right.
So they show the Kuala Lumpur International Airport, whose call signal is KLIA, KILA, and I think, let me type that in, and of course, KLIA equals 33, just like the back portion of the wing. And right away, a group appears, and they claim responsibility for it. So eventually, they say, no, they didn't do it. But the Chinese Martyrs Brigade shows up. Now, the Chinese Martyrs Brigade, I'm like, who are these guys? I type them in. Their number's 223. Now, the thing that you want to know is that 223 is actually the number 322 backwards. 322 is an extremely important number because that's actually the number of secret society. So when you see 322 show up in Gematria, I think there must be something going on there. Not evil, not nefarious, just something magical, something powerful. Because if a secret society wants to use that number, when the universe reveals that number to us, we need to pay attention. So if you see 232 or 322 or 223, it's a very powerful number. And the reason that Chinese Martyrs Brigade in 223 is interesting is because when you type in the word that we're after, horse, it's 233. And then we find out that on board that plane was a group of people called, and we'll get to them, there was a guy who his name is Philip Wood. Now, Philip Wood made the headlines right away. His wife was all upset. I pray for the man. He had left, I believe he left his ring with his wife and had got on a plane in case anything had happened. Philip Wood, when you enter his name in Gematria, 119. Philip is the name of the lover of horses. Wood is the word wood. So Philip Wood is the lover of wood horses. In China, we are in the year of the wooden horse. Don't forget, we were talking about the priest of Neptune at the Sochi Olympics said, beware of the wooden horses. And I said, what are the odds that somebody named Philip Wood, whose Gematria name is 119, would show up? But he did. He was on the plane. So now we actually have a wooden horse, a character by the name of Philip Wood. Again, God bless him. I don't mean to use any of these people's names in vain or anything like that. We're trying to solve a mystery and look at these things of interest. So it really caught my attention that now we have this guy on the plane, and I saw that he worked for IBM. He was an executive. So I typed in IBM and saw that they were actually the International Business Machines. When I typed that in, International Business Machines is 332. So now we're building Horse 233, International Business Machines 332, Chinese Martyrs Brigade 223. And then I look at the other letters like that, and the word Masonic comes up, 223. Blood Sacrifice, 332. Messiah, 233. And interestingly enough, as this plane's missing, I thought of Flight 97 that crashed over Pennsylvania on its way to Washington during 9/11. And when it crashed into an area in a field called the Diamond T Mine. Diamond T Mine is also 322. So now we're connecting these numbers with these missing planes. Very bizarre, the connection. So beyond that, another character, a young man that shows up with this, is a guy, two Iranians had stolen passports. And the one Iranian stole a passport. Well, he didn't steal the passport. He actually left Iran, got into Malaysia, and then bought a stolen passport to get onto the plane. He was trying to find a better life, apparently. But he's on board with a stolen passport, so we have to look at him. He has a Facebook page. I go over to him. And his name is Pouria Nurmohamedi. And when I typed his name also, he has Pouria Nurmohamedi Wiki, W-I-C-K-Y. I typed in Wiki, and it comes up 1322. So there's our 322. And he has as a picture of himself standing in front of the Twin Towers in Malaysia. Remember, we got a set of Twin Towers in Malaysia. Is it called the Petronas Towers? So there's these twin towers. They're actually each 88 stories tall, which is interesting because each year in New York City at the 9/11 memorial, they do they light up the sky with 88 lights where each twin tower was. 88 lights and 88 lights. And now we find out that I didn't know this, but Kuala Lumpur with its twin towers, at one point they were the tallest buildings in the world. I think the Taipan 101 is now the tallest. Well, in Dubai, there's another one. So it's one of the tallest, it's the tallest set of twin towers in the world. And here's this Iranian guy, and, you know, innocent, not innocent, I don't know. But he is at the towers before he gets on the plane. He goes to the twin towers, takes a picture of himself, and tells all his friends on Facebook, please pray for him. And his name, Wiki, the 1322 number, actually means that. I was like, what does that even mean? It means lamb kill. So I'm like, with lamb kill. And on his shirt, he tells all his people, thanks to all of you who have prayed for me. Please pray for me that I'm safe. And on his t-shirt, as he stands in front of the Twin Towers, his shirt says, you didn't see me. I wasn't here. And then he goes off and boards flight 370. So I don't know what happens to him. And one of the things he does is his other post, he says, he shows a picture of the actor Paul Walker, who died in the red, was it a Ferrari? I forget what, a Ferrari or a Porsche he died in last fall. He has a picture of Paul, and he says about Paul, he says, if one day speed kills me, don't cry, because I was smiling. And I think, why did he write that? Why is he getting the number 322? Why does he have on his shirt, you didn't see me, I wasn't here? And why was he standing in front of the Twin Towers and hopped on that plane with a stolen passport from Iran?
It's just a lot of echoes from previous events right there, yeah.
Very strange. And, the man could be innocent, so we're not saying that. And then I think, well, where did the plane go? Maybe the plane turned around, was heading back, and was going to fly into those Twin Towers. And then the government, the military said, we're not letting this happen again. We're shooting this plane down. Blew the plane out of the sky as a hypothetical situation, is picking up the debris, telling everybody we don't know where the plane is, and like we're not having our buildings being taken down again. And take the plane out, and they don't feel like dealing with everybody being upset about it, so they don't say nothing.
Now, I don't know if you're getting to that, but I wanted to ask you about the patents holders and everything that later as well. There's a couple of companies involved in that, and there's some interesting stuff, but if you're getting there, I'll hold off.
Yep, Right now, let's do it.
Yep.
Because we're talking about people who are on the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like passengers on the Orient Express. We're trying to find out who's on the plane. The next group is a group of scientists and engineers from a group called Freescale Semiconductor. And bizarrely enough, that Freescale Semiconductor, their insignia or logo, if you look at it, is actually a trident.
You rotated it a bit, I think, the Freescale, and then you see that it's the three tips basically of the trident right there. Yeah,
it's the three tips of the trident, and it's an artistic version of a trident for sure.
Mm.
If you type in Freescale Semiconductor, their number is again this code 233. The odds that Freescale Semiconductor, type in any business name you want. I challenge you to just start typing in Coca-Cola, Pepsi, McDonald's, and try to get these numbers. It doesn't happen. Freescale Semiconductor, 233. So you look in the Freescale Semiconductor on their site, and it says that they have launched a major initiative dedicated to serving RF radio frequency power needs of aerospace and defense sector. They've established a team of specialists dedicated to supporting defense customers. They offer products in the field of battlefield communications, avionics, high frequency through LMS band radar, missile guidance radio, electronic warfare, identification of friend and foe, ISF, device technologies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at that point, the internet's a storm about that there's these 20 scientists. Where are the 20 scientists? These guys invent things that can block radar, create radar, make things invisible, people are saying. Their website talks about it, and they're gone. Did they make the plane disappear? Did somebody want the information? Did they fly the plane somewhere? And they have these scientists, and they're picking their brain. Or maybe there was a different problem. And as you suggested, sounds like you're onto that. Maybe you could talk about that for a second, that people say that there were some patents on some different things that they'd done, and that by the removal of these 20 scientists, they lost their rights into these technologies, and then other people would acquire those rights and the monies that would be made from that.
Well, exactly. I mean, you have this connection there through Freescale Semiconductors, which is apparently then Jacob Rothschild is the owner of that through, I think it's the Blackstone Group or whatever they were called. I'm reading a little bit as we go here as well. So if the patent holder dies, the other owners share equally in dividends from the deceased. If four of the five patentees die, then the patents left alive gets 100% of the patent. That remaining patent holds is the company Freescale Semiconductor. Who owns Freescale Semiconductor? The answer is Jacob Rothschild, British billionaire who owns the company Blackstone, which in turn owns the company Freescale Semiconductor. Several speculations on the internet now pay attention to this very interesting circumstance. So we have another kind of layer on top of it, which basically suggests that someone is trying to take away these guys to be able to open up a technology, which potentially here in the future, I mean, the application of some of the developments, the microprocessor or semiconductors rather that Freescale was developing are they're tiny, you know, really minute. And there's going to go into military applications, medical. There's just a tons of different aspects of this. So one can understand if this is something that's going to skyrocket, the right people in place want to keep the shares and the winnings of this kind of stuff in their own pockets, right?
Yeah, I agree. It certainly raises questions. When you look at it, you wonder, you have to wonder, particularly when there's that many people on board, and you have to wonder what a motive is when we don't have one at this point. I mean, everybody's suspect from the pilot, from the Iranians that had gone on board to somebody to remote controlling it.
But how does the question is, well, how does it just disappear from the radar? I mean, that doesn't happen. Is something, someone just, you know, turned off the switch for it or whatever, however that technology actually works, right, in terms of how they track the plane. But there's a number of other questions, even the cell phones of the passengers, you know, even if they landed somewhere or even if, you know, if the plane was brought down, the chances that every phone was, you know, dead or destroyed or, you know, that's also kind of small and that those signatures would show up. We know about the spy technology these days, right? And even how to track people, but nothing like this has been revealed as far as I know yet, which is also strange.
It baffles me because all the technology that I read about, I remember in 9/11, they were talking about different technology and they were somebody was shown on the YouTube clips of somebody who was extremely intelligent bragging about the sophistication of these radar systems. And he said, our radar system's so powerful. that we could zero in on a flock of geese and tell you how many geese were in the flock.
Right.
And then the video would flip over to a different group of people going, yeah, we don't know where the plane went. It went off the radar. We lost it over Virginia somewhere, and then it just reappeared in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So is it that the technology is so great that they can listen to all of our phones, read all of our emails, track us from satellite, and count the hairs on our head? Or is the technology so haywire-y that we can lose, you know, a giant jet? So these are the questions. So it makes us question our own technology and what really goes on. So it adds to the confusion.
I think it's exactly, and I think it's also just part of the fact of who has the finger on the button and conveniently can just kind of, you know, turn this off at the right time, and maybe it was downed by a missile or whatever, and then, you know, back on with the switch, and that's it. I mean, we still don't know. I think we have to question the people who are both have developed the technology, the back doors of it, but then also those who have had, as I said, the finger on the button. So that remains to be, again, maybe there are people out there. I haven't followed the story in every minute little detail and nuance, so I'm not sure, but there might be some exposés online on this already, actually, so I'll have to search around a little bit more for that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, some they say they don't know how high the plane went or how low, but some speculate that the plane flew up to 45,000 feet, and I saw they asked the pilot, why would someone fly to 45,000 feet after they shut off the transponders? The pilot's immediate answer was to kill everybody on board so that you didn't have to deal with the passengers anymore, as sad or sick as that is. Because how do you fire guns or kill people in a plane if you really have no use for the people? And the answer is you don't give them any oxygen. And where is this plane? Now, here we go. 7 days later, the headlines read, U.S. says missing Malaysian jet could be an act of piracy. Did 777 secretly land after being flown for hours with planes locators deliberately turned off? And I thought, was it an act of piracy? That's the first they said that. And the funny thing is coming through my news feed on Facebook, it was March 14th, and everybody was saying today is Pi Day, because March 14th. March 14th is 3.14. 3.14 is pi, and now the headlines have turned to pirates. So we're seeing this word.
That's funny.
An absolute play on words.
My wife's birthday is 3.14, and she has the radio show. Our sister program is called Radio 3.14, so I know all about that. Yeah.
Right. Well. So imagine on that day they haven't mentioned the word yet. And all of a sudden, headlines everywhere are going, it's pirates.
Pirates, that's funny.
Pirates, yes. So here we have flight. So let's look at the first time at some numbers. So we looked at 370 for a second, but they keep saying the number 227. That's all I see on the news. These are the numbers you want to look at, the ones that keep getting thrown in your face. So there's a couple numbers, but one of them is 227 passengers. And yes, there's 12 crew. That gives us the 239, but let's just look at the 227 over and over. 227. When I looked into the 227, I found this, that actually there was a movie called The Life of Pi. And in that movie, remember, the young man was on a boat stranded with a Bengal tiger. And he was out in the ocean, bizarrely enough, lost in the ocean in the same area that this plane had disappeared for 227 days. So what are the odds? Now here's the play. They did a play on words. They called the movie, it's short. He had an Indian name, and they shortened his name to Pi. So they call it The Life of Pi. But these guys actually put him in the boat for 227 days. Now the fun thing is if I'm not mistaken, 22 divided by 7 is Pi, 3.14. So they put the young man, Pi, in a boat for 227 days, but it's encoded. 227 days out at sea, lost near Indonesia because his ocean liner went down and he's stuck in this boat for 227 days, is also showing up now. There's a plane missing in the same area on Pi Day with the pirates at 227 passengers. So the number 227 becomes interesting to me. So, let's see, 227, I'm looking at, absolutely, yeah, it's absolutely, is pi, I was doing the math there.
Wow.
But 227, right? 227, that's, what if you reverse that in Europe and made it a date? 227 would actually be 722 or July 22nd, right?
Right.
So So they keep showing us the number 227, 227, 227. That's July 22nd. Well, if you look up July 22nd, you will find some interesting things. First of all, it's the birthday of the Boston bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is that in 1916, on that date, July 22nd, 722, which is 227 reversed, there is a series of bombings in San Francisco. In 1946, the King David Hotel bombing, July 22nd. London bombing, July 22nd, 2005. The Norway bombing, also, July 22nd, yeah, 2011. Yeah. And then on July 22nd, in 2004, the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States, also known as the 9/11 Commission, they released their public report on July 22nd. And then outside the Chicago theater, John Dillinger, who's wanted by the FBI, is mortally taken out on July 22nd. The Holocaust begins on July 22nd, 1942. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Dahmer, the man who was eating people in America, is arrested on July 22nd. So over and over and over, we find that these bombings, including the Boston bomber, were born on July 22nd. July 22nd, 722, which is the number of passengers in reverse, tends to be a very powerful day. Well, let's not forget something. We're talking about the god Neptune here, and 722, July 22nd, is the eve of 723, which is the Neptunalia, which is the celebration of the god Neptune. And you might want to say to yourself, well, wait a minute. It's 722, not 723. 723 is the Neptunalia. And I say to you, well, Christmas is on the 25th, but we celebrate Christmas Eve. New Year's is on the 1st, but we celebrate New Year's Eve. So when you're celebrating a holiday, you celebrate the evening before, because many religions start the night before at 6 o'clock. So people lose that sometimes. Yeah. You need to look at the night before. So July 22nd becomes extremely powerful because it is the eve of the Neptunalia, and now our 227 passengers, or July 22nd, 722, brings up some importance. It's also, by the way, July 22nd, is the birth of our new and future king, Prince George. Prince George was born to William and was it Catherine, right, Kate, on July 22nd. And again, very interesting because the 22 divided by 7 is pi, a very powerful number, a very powerful day.
I'm sure it's all coincidental, right?
All coincidental.
It feels to me that the signatures, then, it's interesting, all the events you listed there, on July 22nd, kind of a, the examination of these being false flags, controlled events, which suggests that there's way much more behind that, obviously, than we first think. Very interesting, actually. Very interesting.
Yes. And now, for me, not only is it related to pi, which has to do with the dimensions of a circle, which would be the measurements of how everyone draws a cosmic doorway or a stargate or a portal, are circles with the radius and the mathematics that are involved with that. Even CERN laboratories with the particle accelerator is a circle. The sun is a circle. The circle is the symbol of infinity. So when we're talking about pi and the dimensions of a circle, the date 722 makes much more sense, or 22 divided by 7, 3.14. Let's look at some other numbers that they kept throwing in our face. They said Malaysian Flight 370 lost all contact at 121. Over and over, 121, 121, 121. And then what I find out is that 121 is actually the radio frequency in avionics, like a 9/11 call. So if you're in a plane and you're in trouble, what frequency do you go to? Not 9/11. If you're in a plane, you go to 121. 121 is a frequency in avionics, and it means that there's an emergency going on. And over, the news is saying, hey, the plane is gone at 121. We lost all contact with it. It went off the radar. Somebody must have shut it off at 121, 121, over and over. Well, the thing that I found interesting about that is that the other Iranian, not the one that stood in front of the Twin Towers, but the other one, Syed Delaver, when I typed his name in, his geometry is 121. So now we have the other Iranian, and we have this now 121 code. Now, 121, we find out, we've all heard of the 1111. Everybody's like 1111, the time 1111. I see it on the clock. Well, 11 times 11 is 121. And 1111 is an auspicious number. It has to do with energetics. It has to do with communicating with other worlds. It has to do with magic. The show, the TV show Lost, about an airplane crash. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. Oh, and it's always the airplane, too, though, like the major focus around it. I mean, look at some of the major movies. There's always a plane crashing into it or exploding midair. It's like it's always centered around the airplane for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Well, yes, and TV's Lost, when you look at them, what you find out is that aired for many years and there was 121 episodes. So for some reason, this show about planes, they decided to use the emergency code 121 as the number of episodes, and the first show aired on September 22nd, which is 9/11/11. 22 is 11/11. So we get the 9/11/11 as the opening air date. It airs for 121 episodes, and now Malaysian Flight 370 is lost. And we lost all contact at, what else? 121, the emergency code. So I wondered about that. And people keep talking about this plane flying to China. It's going to China. It's flying to China. It's trying to get to China. Well, the interesting thing is we've all played Chinese checkers. And Chinese checkers is the star diagram, and there's these marbles on board. And there's 121 holes in a Chinese marbles game. So the 121 holes becomes extremely important. 11 times 11, 121. The Iranian who stole a passport and was on board shouldn't have been on, 121. They got one picture of him, Saeed Delaver, and it was in the Malaysia airport. And he's walking through the airport, and on his shoulder is a skull. Now, I wonder, why, if you're flying on a plane, of all things, why would you put a skull on your shoulder? It's just strange to me. So those numbers will show up for us later when we talk about some people who were involved in this plane. Their numbers, 121, show up. And the final words of Flight 370, the pilot or the co-pilot, they say, said, "All right, good night." So I enter in, "All right, good night." The code comes up, 1116. And he said those words in the paper over and over at 119. And the headlines, I looked one day, and it said, "Could the final sign-off code by the co-pilot have been a secret code?" Because normally they would say, "Roger out." And he didn't say, "Roger out." He said, "All right, good night," which is something bizarre that they would never say.
Right.
And "All right, good night" in Gematria 1116. He said that at 119 a.m., and then they lost all contact at 121. So let's talk about how there was 237 passengers and 12 crew. If you add those up for the total amount of people, including the pilots, we now have the number that shows up, 239. 239 were total of all people on board. 239 becomes extremely important because if we know anything about science, we are now talking about an isotope of plutonium that is used in nuclear weapons. So nuclear weapons, they use as their energy plutonium-239. What are the odds that people are saying, "I think they flew this plane maybe up into Iran. I think they flew it to Pakistan, to some secret naval base. They're going to load it up with weapons. They're going to fly it into a city, probably Israel." In the meantime, the headlines are saying that Israel is preparing for this attack. They're getting ready for this plane to come out of nowhere, and it's going to be filled with nuclear weapons. And
oh,
the energy is plutonium-239 that will be used, and there's 239 people on board.
And by the way, let me just interject there that Israel has an identical plane. Christopher Bolin sent us an article about this too. They have an identical Boeing 777 built, basically stored at one of the plane hangars in Tel Aviv. This is from Plane Spotters, that website. So what is that all about?
Hey, look, you know, there's some people that I don't hang out with that I did when I was a teenager, and we would walk in someplace and they would pick a fight and wait for the person to punch them. And then once the person punched them, that was their excuse to go at it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You're just like purposely picking a fight. So you wonder sometimes in the world that we live in, do powers to be pick fights or create things? could this plane be used against ourselves to pick a fight with somebody else and blame it on them? And we all know the answer to that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So here's our plutonium-239, our 239 people on board. And just for kicks, might I add that if you type in the word Torah, you will get 239. If you type in Meyer Amschel Rothschild, you will get 239.
All right.
So 239 is an extremely powerful number. For fun, do you know, I looked and I was doing some research on plutonium-239, and back in the day during the Manhattan Project when they were developing it, amongst the scientists, they wouldn't say plutonium-239, that wasn't cool. They would just call it 49. So they would go, hey, you got any 49, or how's that 49 coming? And when they said 49, everybody knew they were talking about plutonium-239. That was because of a use of the number, the atomic number is 94, so they take the 4 there, and the 9 is from the plutonium-239, so they just shorten the whole thing and call it 49. Remember back, how many bags of heroin were found with Philip Seymour Hoffman back at the Super Bowl?
Sure,
49
same.
Bags. Mm. Now, remember Putin, what his number was, 409. So we got Philip Hoffman, 49 bags. We've got Putin with the 409, the zero doesn't count, so it's 49. And now we've got plutonium matching up with the number of passengers, and for short and for giggles, they call it 49. So let's not forget that we had I started seeing these maps where they were showing the projected flight plan up into India, up into Pakistan, up into Iran. And I remembered back to the Super Bowl, and I made a side-by-side image of what I was seeing on the news and what I had seen 2 or 3 weeks earlier at the Olympics, and the Russians had already showed us. They showed us a map of the world. They showed us a giant hurricane over Iran, and now it's on the news, and they're saying this plane could be taken up to where this vortex of energy was, and it could be being used. So I found that all extremely strange. Just to add other craziness, they were showing a radius of where the plane could fly, and it included a set of islands off of the coast of India called the Maldives. And the day before the plane went missing, William and Kate, the prince and princess, were in the Maldives through all of this. So they were within the flight path of this plane. How that links in, I have absolutely no idea, but it's interesting that royalty was there. In the midst of all of that, they finally decided that no, the plane didn't go that way. We have the Chinese have spotted wreckage all the way down by Australia. Now, the headlines that day blew me away because they show a picture of 1,500 miles off the coast of Australia, off of the coast of Perth, Australia. I had never even, forgive me, my geography is pretty good, but I had never even heard of Perth. So here's Perth, and we're 1,500 miles off the coast. And on the same page, I made a picture of it. The same headline says, heartbroken Mick Jagger boards a private jet with bandmates in Perth, Australia, aboard a private jet out of Australia because his lover, Loren Scott, is dead, has committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thought, I've never even heard of Perth. And now the headlines have two major headlines. The plane has crashed off the coast of Perth, and Mick Jagger is stopping his tour because his lover, Loren Scott, has committed suicide and he needs to fly out of there. Two headlines, both mentioning Perth. That doesn't happen every day. And they say that first destination is Mick Jagger is flying to Abu Dhabi. And I type that in, and Abu Dhabi is 227 in Gematria, which is the number of passengers. How crazy. A friend from Australia, after I made that post, said, oh, if you want to know anything about Australia and you want to know why that plane's down there, then you need to look into the Naval Communications Station Harold E. Holt, which is on the coast of Australia. And she said, it's the most powerful harp station in the world. And I look into it and get on Google Earth and I type that in and I go down and there it is, this hexagonal shaped radio frequency towers all lined up. And I get on Wikipedia and I read about this place, and the plane apparently disappeared right off of the coast, they're saying, right there where this harp station is. And in with the articles on Wiki, it says that on October 7, 2008, a Qantas Flight 72 made an emergency landing, and they blamed it on the station for messing up all of their frequencies. And then on December 27, 2008, another craft, another Qantas Flight 71, also malfunctioned, and all of its instrument panels went haywire, and they blamed it on this spot. So now we've got a plane crash off of the coast of Australia where there's this naval communication station that's radiating these low-voltage, low-frequency radio waves to communicate with ships and planes and submarines. And here's the kicker. The same time that they start their search down there where they say is wreckage, a giant storm is forming off the coast of Australia called Cyclone Gillian. The same day the plane went missing, this cyclone started, and now that they're down off the coast of Australia, they have to pull out, and they can't fly the planes, they can't bring the everything in there, because this giant cyclone Gillian is there. I don't know if you have Gilligan's Island, where you're from, about the folks that got lost on an island on a three-hour
right.
tour.
Yeah, I remember
but
it.
Now Cyclone Gillian is tampering with the ability. So the question is, why is a cyclone forming the same time we're in a search? Why are planes missing off of the coast of Australia? Why is in Wiki they're blaming this naval communications station that you can get on Google and scroll down into and take a look at? That adds bizarreness. Now, all of that is nothing compared to what happens next. Next, a great researcher makes a video, and he says that he watches a movie that came out last year called The Man of Steel. It's about Superman. And in that movie, there's a spaceship that breaks in half into two tridents. And these two tridents are going to impact the planet Earth. One place that they impact, and it shows the location, is 37 South, 76 East. In the movie, these tridents, and it's off the coast of Australia, exactly where they see the plane disappeared. A trident, a UFO craft, lands and impacts the Earth in the South Indian Ocean. The other trident impacts at the exact opposite location, not 37 South, 76 East, but opposite 37 North, 76 West. I look to see where that is. It's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, or Norfolk, Virginia. And that place is very interesting because on the beach at those coordinates is a giant statue of the god Neptune. This is bizarre. So we have the Superman movie using two tridents to mark two locations on planet Earth. One is where the plane went missing with tridents on its tail. And the other location is the location where a statue of the god Trident. And I went to that location in Virginia, and I typed in where that statue was, and I knew it was there because I was looking at statues of Neptune because of the Sochi Olympics, but didn't pay any mind to it. I didn't think anything of it. I blew it off. But now, looking back, now we actually have a coordinate that shows up in a Hollywood movie. And the movie Man of Steel, I entered it into Geometria. 110, Man of Steel. So I'm like, Man of Steel, 110. I know that number. Adolf Hitler, 110. Osama bin Laden, 110. 110 floors in each of the Twin Towers. Adler in Russia, where the Olympics were held, 110. The 110 passengers that were on board the Pegasus Airlines that got hijacked. Now, the guy shows, this excellent researcher, shows that in the movie, there's an explosion, and in the debris, a bus in a city blows up, and the bus has written on top of it, missing in action, MIA,
yeah.
370. So there's the flight number of the plane that's missing in this Hollywood movie. I know we've all seen how in 9/11, when we looked back after the fact, that everything from The Simpsons and the movie The Matrix and other movies, The Lone Gunman, that all these shows had clues that were leading to the event of 9/11.
Yeah.
Now we're finding that this event is actually being forecasted in Hollywood movies.
Is that what that is, do you think? Is it a forecast? Is it a resonant echo of something that is yet to come, but it's going to have, I mean, I always viewed it as it, when it has a major impact and be that, you know, kind of naturally, progression naturally, or if it's induced by the media because of the incessant focus on it. But nonetheless, when you have that kind of attention on it, you are going to kind of create ripples in the emotional environment, shall we say, of the you know, collective unconscious. And therefore, that's something that actually comes through, and it's something that, you know, sends us a signal, for the lack of a better term.
I agree absolutely with what you said. It comes back to how we were talking before. Either these events are scripted in advance, and they put the thought, or the thought, a million people watch the movie Superman. They all see the numbers 370 on the bus. They all see the tridents. They all see the coordinates. The brain is extremely powerful.
Well, exactly. I was just going to say, even if they don't recall that they saw it or like remember, like, no, I didn't see that. Your subconscious, you know, you pick up on like millions of different signs and signals, and the brain reads things diagonally, upside down, mirrored, you know, all kinds of angles, and you actually absorb it into it. The question is how you create that out of memory, but nonetheless, it's an important point that you made, that it's not, it's just that it's going to be in there whether you like it or not, right?
And doesn't that fit in exactly with what we're talking about? Because we're talking about the god Neptune, the god of the watery deep. And what else is the subconscious or the unconscious but the watery deep that's lying down in there? So almost, sure. Almost these messages that we're talking about, that we're wondering, hey, does this just happen? And we're looking back. Or are millions of people watching the movie, the numbers and the codes are going into the subconscious, into the deeper recesses of the mind, and we already said that once, that's like seed. If I take seed and put it out in a field and wait till August or whatever, and we get some sort of a harvest from the seed, what if I put thoughts in people's heads? Last year in the Superman movie, a million people think it, see it, it rattles around in there. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, planes are crashing in the exact location.
Right. Yeah,
it is extremely bizarre and is worthy of investigation. And it's exactly what we're doing right now. Now, I took those two coordinates, the 37 south, 76 east, and its opposite, 37 north, 76 west. Please do it on Google. Put those two points in, scribe a line in between the two, and something very interesting happens. That line crosses exactly where the equator and the prime meridian. Now remember, the prime meridian runs north and south through Greenwich, London, there, and the equator runs across the middle of the Earth. They form a cross. These two points, when you scribe it halfway around the globe, run exactly through that point. So apparently the people that made the movie, either they didn't know that and they guessed really good, or if they're trying to link those two locations, the god Neptune. But what we're going to find out is, I looked where that god Neptune was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and from Google Earth, it's plain to see that the street layouts that run up to where they put the statue are actually laid out in the form of a trident. Very easy to see. It's right there on Google Earth. And it's adjacent. It's 30th Street, 31st, and 32nd Street form the trident, and it's adjacent to 33rd Street. So that brings us to where we were. Here's bizarre for you. The day that I was looking at those points, and I was looking at Norfolk, Virginia, I was thinking about what was there. I was looking at the trident and all these different things. All of a sudden, coming through the news feed is there's a shooting at the Norfolk Naval Base. A shooting at the Norfolk Naval Base. The exact coordinates where the movie pointed, the exact opposite coordinate of where the plane crash is being searched. There is now a shooting at the Naval Yard. I type in the name of the Naval Station Norfolk, and their logo comes up. It is a trident. So now we have a shooting, two people killed, a civilian and an officer. The guy apparently tried to board a ship. This is just the other day.
Right.
Then I researched a little further. It turns out that actually last month there was a drill. The drill last month, it says, at the Norfolk Naval Base held anti-terror drills as all did Navy bases across the country. So a month ago they held a shooter drill that somebody came onto the base, shot up the place, and they practiced on what to do. Less than a month later, guess what? A real shooter comes on and starts shooting the place up. Now, I don't know why that has happened. I'm sure you've seen in the news where there's these drills being run, and then after they run the drill, about a month later, 2 months later, or even the same day.
Exactly, yeah.
Sometimes they're running the drill the same day.
Yeah.
Well, apparently in 9/11, right, they were running a drill that somebody hijacked airplanes, and now we have real planes being hijacked. And we have the air traffic controllers going, is this real or is this part of the drill?
Yeah.
Very much, it creates a lot of confusion.
Very, very clever, very clever. And it's another fingerprint of those who are pulling it off, basically. Now, do you think, oh, wait a minute, there's one more thing I was thinking about. Maybe you're getting to that too. But wasn't the plane, this particular Boeing, the 404th 777 built?
Yes, it was. Yep. I'm trying to think of, you got me off the top of my head. 404 is the If you look it up, it'll say that there was a bunch of these Boeing 777s built, and this particular plane was the 404th one built. Very important, because if you look into HTTP, remember when you see the any numbers in the 400s, the low 400s, look up these HTTP codes, and 404 is actually a code for lost or missing.
Not found, yeah.
Not found. So we have a HTTP code of 404. If it shows up on your computer, it means that whatever you're looking for isn't found. And then you go to Wikipedia and you type in about this plane and it says, oh, it's the 404th one that Boeing produced. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, yeah, no kidding. If you label something, whatever you do, don't call your dog 404 or he'll never show up. Be careful what you call something, right?
And this is something as well that would be interesting then because, well, I don't know who came up with the HTTP codes and all that. Maybe that's some kind of standardization just within the HTML map, the markup language there, but nonetheless, it's something that has it's a very recent numerological value in that regard because you know the history of the web is not that long, but this is something that a lot of people they know the 404 is associated with not found. You know, this is something that's been really programmed into a lot of people who are online all the time. Interesting.
Yeah, so it apparently using the computers, we can maybe we can create codes and have codes manifest at a faster rate, because more people are using those codes and reading those codes. How many people have read 404 not found and thought it, and now all of a sudden we have a plane number 404 not found? It only took a matter of time, and here we are. And speaking of codes, one of the last big things probably that we should talk about the plane here is there's a mystery I saw some people were talking about, and they said, hey, you know where that plane is? And in particular, it says here, Russia puzzled headlines. Russia puzzled over Malaysia Airlines being captured by the United States Navy. A new report circulating in the Kremlin today, prepared by the main intelligence directorate of general staff, the armed forces, says that the United States Navy captured this plane and flew it to a secret base off the coast of India called Diego Garcia. So I typed in Diego Garcia just to see if there was a code there, and Diego Garcia Island is 138. There's our code. That's the clock time. Remember 813, 813? So that's what, when I type it in and I see a number that I know, I start digging. It's like you got your metal detector and it's going beep, beep, beep. You don't see nothing, but you're hearing the beep. You get your shovel out and you start digging, right?
Yep.
You don't dig somewhere where there isn't a beep. You find the beep and then you dig. So I find a number, I find a code that's within there, and then you start digging. Diego Garcia Island, 138. Let's start digging. So you start looking down in there, and I remember that the term order out of chaos is a 183. I remember that the Sochi Olympics, the clock ended at 8:13. Peter Pan goes to Never Never Land at 8:13. And then I must add in that the headlines came out and said, Venus Flight 370 is no longer in existence. We still have to fly to China. We got a new plane doing that flight. They renamed Flight 370. They retire the number. The new flight is Flight 318, 318. So the new flight number for Flight 370 is 318. All that is 813 switched around. Diego Garcia Island, 138. Order out of chaos, 183. Clock at Sochi, 813. So there we are. So I start looking into this, Diego Garcia Island, and people are saying, who knows if this is true or where these things come from, but they're saying, they start connecting a group of a couple Navy SEALs that had died, I guess off the coast of Africa, not too long ago, a week before the plane went missing, and they were on a ship called the Maersk Alabama. Now that ship is famous, Maersk Alabama, because they made a movie about it called Captain Phillips.
Phillips, yeah, that's right.
There's our word again, Philip. Philip means lover of horses. Now, Captain Phillips, by the way, let me just say Captain Phillips in Geometry is 490. That's our 49. That's our 49. So Captain Phillips is 490. Don't forget Putin is 409. Don't forget that plutonium is 49. Don't forget that the Boston bombings went off at the end line, the first bomb at 409. So now we got Captain Phillips at 490. So I know we're on to something. We got Diego Garcia Island at 138. These two Navy SEALs die. So why did they die in the headlines? You look it up, from a heroin overdose. What is the street word for heroin? Horses. And where do they die? They die on Captain Phillips' boat. Philip, the lover of horses. Where is the boat from? If you look at the back of the picture, Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia is where the group that they work for is from. The group that they work for is called the Trident Group. Now, I don't think anything nefarious is going on with the Trident Group. I don't mean them any harm. Apparently, they protect things. These are ex-Navy SEALs who like their job, who are good at their job. These guys go get, they retire from the forces. They go in, they worked for the Trident Group out of Norfolk, Virginia, which don't forget, that's the exact opposite location in the Superman movie where the plane went down. The plane went down in Australia. You take the exact opposite location from the Superman movie. The other Trident, the part of the UFO, went down in Norfolk. There's also a giant statue of Neptune there. Now, Norfolk, Virginia, I entered that in and I got 1111. So Norfolk, Virginia is radiating to an 1111. Don't forget that 11 times 11 is 121. Well, interesting, one of the guys that died, one of the guys is named Mark Kennedy. His number, his geometry is 121. There's our 121. That's the distress code that the last time the plane was flying that they sent as a signal. Last time we heard from Flight 370 was 121 a.m. Yeah, no kidding, 121 is 11 times 11. Norfolk, Virginia is 1111. The other guy, Jeffrey Reynolds, the other Navy SEAL, who apparently died from heroin horse overdose on Captain Phillips' ship that Tom Hanks made a movie out of and was up for the Oscar, that Jeffrey Reynolds, his number is 1122. Now, 1122 is really 11111, but 1122 is also a very important date. 1122 is the day they killed Kennedy, November 22nd, 1122. So the one guy's name's Mark Kennedy, and the other guy's name's Jeffrey Reynolds, his number's 1122. You got the date of Kennedy, and you got the name Kennedy all in the same thing. Now, you got to ask yourself, where's Diego Garcia Island off? And it's in an area called the British Indian Ocean Territory.
Mm-hmm.
I entered that in 322. British Indian Ocean Territory, 322. So what does that mean? I don't know. Did Navy SEALs, people want to connect all of that to that there was some sort of a secret cargo that was contained on that ship, that these Navy SEALs knew something or didn't know something bad happened. Why are these two, I look in pictures of these guys are built, in shape, working out, like they look like they're eating like cans of tuna and drinking water, like they're no joke, and all of a sudden they find them both dead, apparently from respiratory failure from doing heroin. How did Philip Seymour Hersh die the day of the Super Bowl? Heroin. Now we got these two Navy SEALs dying from heroin. Street name for heroin, horse. These guys work for the Trident Group. Where's the plane missing? It's got a trident on it. The god Neptune is everywhere. The watery deep is everywhere. These codes are everywhere. Everybody's puzzled. Everybody's confused. Everybody's lost. While we're on the subject of Navy SEALs and operations and things, and thank God our country has people and other countries have people who keep things under control. Could there be bad things going on with the same people? Yeah. Could there be good things? Yeah. We don't know. We're speculating. What do we know? What goes on behind the scenes? But there was something called Operation Neptune that I found. And Operation Neptune Spear. Operation Neptune Spear occurred on May 1st, which is a pagan holiday of Beltane. And on May 1st, a group of Navy SEALs went in and captured Osama bin Laden.
Allegedly.
And they called the operation Neptune Spear. The SEALs and the Navy are very partial, obviously, because they work on the water. They've got ships on the water. So it makes sense that they would use that. But it's funny how they're interacting and being a part of all of this. And that operation was originally called Operation Geronimo, because Geronimo was an Indian who was a rogue Indian that was running from the U.S. government. He was being sought as a terrorist, and really all he was doing was trying to live on his land, and he was being exterminated. But unfortunately, he was seen as a terrorist, and they related Osama bin Laden to that, and they were originally calling it Operation Geronimo, not Operation Neptune Spear. I type in Operation Geronimo, you get in Geometria 666. So in the midst of all of this, our president, President Obama, while all of this is happening, goes to the Netherlands for, of all things, they have a security summit on nuclear weapons. And he stands in front of a giant map, And he talks to everyone about nuclear weapons and what we're going to do in the future. And he stands in the exact location so that he is standing over the location off of the coast of Australia where we are currently looking for missing pieces of the Flight 370. The odds of him doing that blow and boggle my mind as well.
Well, indeed, interesting that they dumped his alleged body at the ocean as well for everyone to not see, which is interesting, but it's more the water symbolism. But now, do you think that... it's a difficult question, perhaps, but there's a couple of things here we could talk a little bit more about before we begin to wrap things up for this time. But where is there any possibility, do you think, that we might see the plane or something connected to it show up in some context again? I mean, people are wary of the fact that they might use it somewhere and basically, as you said before, kind of stage another false flag terrorist attack with the aid of this or another, you know, plane like it. Is there anything that can be done in terms of like looking at what you're doing with the numbers to kind of see ahead? I mean, I'm not saying that this is an easy task or anything like that, but there's so many things that you before said, you can, in hindsight, you can see the clarity of it, but how is it to actually see how this is going to play out in the future? Is there any possibility to do that at all, do you think?
Yeah, I think there is. I don't have the, look, let's say this, there's been a couple of things that have happened that I've made suggestions on the, for example, I told you one. The day before the Sochi Olympics started, I said, everybody be on the lookout for the number 110. And the only reason I suggested that was because the location of the Olympic stadiums was in a town called Adler. I typed in Adler, its geometria combination was 110. I knew that 110 was an auspicious number because of Osama bin Laden's 110, Adolf Hitler's 110, the Twin Towers were 110, and by the way, Rockefeller's 110, if I didn't mention that. So we have these powerful people, these powerful names in the history of the world, these powerful buildings, 110, which is really, when they're standing side by side, get rid of the zeros, it's an 11-11 again, isn't it? So we got the 110 and the 110. Now if I'm an Adler and I type in the name of a location where a major worldwide event's going and I see a number that I know is a number of importance, like 110, that's the reason I said, and I try not to do it. I don't like doing it because I don't want to be some kind of like I'm trying to be a prophet at all or a soothsayer or a fortune teller. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just tracking events. But for the sake of doing it, I said be on the lookout for 110. And what do you know? The next day, headlines: Pegasus Airlines, 110 passengers on board. And my next slide was, I can't even believe this. I can't. That's happened a couple of times. I don't know how you would go about doing that, except for what I found is that when you're looking at a particular group of events, like a missing airline, if you keep digging and you looking at all the major names of the people involved, when you look at the locations of the places, when you look at the dates and then go back into particular pagan myth and go back into Roman myth, and that the Roman holidays in particular are extremely powerful, the pagan holidays are powerful, and you read through there at the numbers and the names, check the geometria, you can start to pull out a webbing or a net that exists within the code. You start to find it. So like with the plane, for example, the codes that you saw me talk about were what I call the 322 code. So numbers that names that came up with 322 or variants of that, the variants would be 233, 323, 332, 322, 232, 223. Those are the numbers. Here's the words that came up with that: horse, Freescale Semiconductor, International Business Machines, which is IBM, Chinese Martyrs Brigade, Masonic, Blood Sacrifice, and Messiah. If you looked at the numbers, you heard me say many times the 331 code with the plane. So that's 113-131, 311, 331, 313, or 133. Here's the names: Philip Hoffman, Maserati Ghibli, Sochi USSR, Zahari Ahmad Shah, which is the pilot, Puri Mahad, who was one of the Iranians, Delavar Azra, who's the other Iranian, and there was a movie called Nonstop that came out the week before the plane. It's Liam Neeson. It's about a hijacked airplane, and he's like a U.S. Marshal on the plane. It comes out before the hijacking. I typed in Nonstop. That comes up as 113. And then the guy who became missing, the guy by the name of Paul Weeks, I think he was the one that left his ring with his wife. God bless him. Paul Weeks comes up as a 113. And don't forget that the day March 1st, there was 113 people that got stabbed in China on March 1st. The 911 code showed up all over the place inside of this plane hijacking because the headline said, "Was Malaysian's co-pilot's last message to base a secret distress signal?" Headlines. "Officials investigate possibility of an unusual sign-off. May have indicated something wrong. Pilot signed off at 119. Now, if we look, the code for the plane, the registration is 9MMRO. That number in Geometry is 190. All right, good night is 1116. They passed three beacons going up through the Malaysian coast: Agari, Vampi, and Egris. I typed them in. I got a 106, a 61, and a 191. We had Philip Wood, a passenger, at 119. Luigi Moraldi, hadn't heard his name. He's the Italian guy who had his passport stolen, and it was given. His passport was one of the passports that the Iranian had. His number is 116. Delavar Saeed Ezra, the pilot, or one of the Iranians, 1901. And then there was headlines that the pilot had gone to a political rally by a guy by the name of Anwar Ibrahim. His number's 1161. And he had been brought up of charges of sodomy. Sodomy is 91. They were arguing about China, 61. And Putin comes on, a newscaster, and said that Putin's going to make America radioactive ash. Radioactive ash, 161. And Kiev? When you type in Kiev, you get 1119. I call all that 911 coding. It's extremely powerful. It's there. It happens in major events.
Yeah, I think what people have to remember as well is that these, if you look at dates then and particular deities and certain ancient rituals, we have to remember that these are things that have been worshipped and venerated and prayed to for thousands and thousands of years in some cases. And you know, our current way of life is very, it's like a second on that, clock, if you will, as opposed to at least 10, 15 minutes, you know, of some other interesting past and history in terms of our ancient, ancestors and what they did. So I think that there's still very much energies, for lack of a better term, that actually is alive and still kind of pierces through the veil, and it's something that still is with us no matter how much we like it or not. And I think even the fact that it takes, in some cases, then I'm not saying that there isn't a conspiracy, I mean, I'm very, very savvy to that idea that it's definitely someone who's using this and kind of jumping on the bandwagon for, you know, to try to get their way and ease their agenda into the world in a different stage. But nonetheless, I think that there's something that kind of pierces through and comes through there. And even the fact that it comes in the form of horrific news in some cases is because this, unfortunately, is also what gets the most attention in the world, right? So I think there's a major interplay between all these things. But it kind of goes back to what you said before, that there is the codes are kind of constructs that exists within nature. And it's something we just... we just kind of don't understand this fully yet, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I think in science, one of the first things we do in science is we become observers. We watch something. You know, we watch the apple fall from the tree, and then we start to think about it. We watch the lion eat the gazelle. We think, why did that happen? So we question these things that we see. So here's these numbers, here's these patterns, here's these events. And as humans, like we said, when things don't add up, when the numbers don't make sense, you know, a plane disappeared, where did it go? How come it wasn't tracked on radar? How come, you know, all these ships that are in the air, you know, the whole place is crawling over there with American ships, with Chinese ships, with Indian ships. Every country has a navy, and there's only so many waters over there, and they've all got ships, and they're all keeping an eye on each other.
Right.
You don't think the aircraft carriers know every boat and every plane that's within a couple hundred miles of them?
Exactly. It's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, so they all had that whole thing on radar. We always have to think of magic. We have to remember the sleight of hand. We always are watching the rabbit being pulled out of the hat while the magician's setting up the next trick. So what we are watching and what we are seeing and what we are being led to many times is a diversion technique from something else, as we
right.
all know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
One great researcher who's been just going at it, it's Dabu 7, he's had some videos that keep coming out that people post on my wall. And one thing that I liked that he posted that was real interesting, he looked at the radar, right away. And it, like the day it happened, he was on it. I don't even know where you find these radars. But he got on the radar, and you could track every plane that's going on down there in that area. And he followed the flight. And the flight did some weird patterning, and then beep, went off the screen, and it went from so many thousand feet right down to 0 feet, just disappeared. So he's like, wow, that's really crazy. Then he comes back, and a day later, he has another one. He's like, they changed the radar. They actually recreated the computer program and have a new route. And then in this new program, this programming, they showed the plane crossing over Vietnam, and when it gets north of Vietnam, then it disappears. So I was like, well, wow, how'd that happen? And he's like, I got it. I got it on video. I got it right here. You all can watch it. You know, they're messing with the radar. They're telling us it's down in Australia or whatever. They're telling us it's over here. It's over there. It's up towards China. Then it disappears. What's going on? Well, I got on Google Earth and looked at the area, and right next to where the plane disappeared are a whole group of islands. And the group of islands right there are the Amphitrite Islands. I'm like, Amphitrite. Why do I know that name? I type in Wikipedia. Amphitrite is the wife of Neptune. So now we have the plane disappearing off the coast of Vietnam next to a group of lines called islands called the Amphitrite Islands. And we've been in search of Neptune. We've been in search of the Trident. If you type in Amphitrite, where these islands are, you'll see the goddess, and what is she holding in all the statues and all of the paintings of her? She's standing next to her husband who's wielding the trident, and in many statues, she too wields this trident that we are now in search of. And while we're talking about tridents and in search of tridents, everybody should be aware that on May 21st of this year, the museum at 9/11 opens, and everyone that goes there to the museum is going to go down an escalator past these giant two twin tridents. And we've been seeing, think about it, we've been seeing nothing but trident. And now the two biggest tridents in the world are going to be unveiled at one of the most holy, sacred spots in the world. Particularly for Americans. I mean, they call it hallowed ground, for goodness sake. So, you know, whenever you have a temple back in the day, or whenever you have a sacred space, they would always, God forgive me, slaughter animals and shed innocent blood onto the ground to bless the ground and to bless, have a blessing onto the gods and a sacrifice to the gods. This site has 3,000 some people. The blood has been spilt there. It's a sacred space. And people, you know, I walk around there sometimes, and just people are just in a state of mind. Now I wonder what's going to happen when they go past the tridents and they look up at these two giant steel beams. What exactly is going to go through their mind? What are they going to experience? That's coming up. Is it going to shift energy? Is it going to shift consciousness? What else is going to happen? That's May 21st. And then the other two events, we've got that July 22nd, which is that famous day coming up this summer with all the bombings that we see, and then which is the reverse of the 227, it's the 722, and then July 23rd this summer is the Neptunalia. So we wonder about those two dates.
So a little a cautionary note on those aspects, and it also, all of this, of course, brings up the epistemological question of free will and a lot of other interesting aspects. But it's it's very interesting. I mean, I think it has been a spectacle, and nonetheless, it's something that we need to keep an eye on. And it's this particular field is kind of like a science in itself in that regard, and trying to track the numbers and the signals and the signs and everything else. And you're good at it, Mark. So thank you for coming on today, obviously, and sharing this with us. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we begin to round things up? Obviously, I want you to give us all the details again. People know where to go, and mention your book that you co-authored with William Henry. But the floor is yours.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Henrik. Very nice speaking with you. It's been a pleasure. Hey, everybody that was on my Facebook wall, that there's such some brilliant people that are adding things in. It'd be great to have more people. I think you can only get like 5,000 people on your Facebook wall. That kind of stinks. It'd be nice if this hive mind mentality where we all keep joining forces and sharing, because everybody comes from a different background. Everybody's read different books, has different ideas, and that's why these things are being unveiled more and more. I say keep looking at these codes. My wall is really about I was seeing this stuff and then writing it on paper, and I'm like, No, it needs to be documented and put out. And then if something happens, we can go back and look. We have a record of it. It's dated, it's timed, and now we can start to combine things and maybe start to create a bigger science out of it. And yeah, my website is kind of fun, I think. It's got some pictures of different things that you can scroll through. That would be cosmicdoorways.net. And that's stamped on my slides too, so you'll see that on the slides. And yeah, join me on Facebook. And a great book if you're interested in all about secrets and codes and symbology, particularly in America. One of the greatest temples in the world is the United States Capitol. And if you go inside there, you will marvel, especially if you know what's in there. And I wrote a book with William Henry, who's an investigative mythologist, who I think he's got some 13 or 14 books. I think he's been on your show a bunch of times,
sure,
right?
Sure, yep.
Yeah, he's a really great guy, does tours to Egypt and all kinds of other places around the world. And he took me actually under his wing some years ago because I just loved his books. I've read all of his books. And if you have any interest in learning about myth and symbols and our past and religion and things that are hidden, right, in front of you, read William Henry's books. There's so many of them. They're so good. And particularly read the one that I wrote with him, Freedom's Gate, The Lost Symbols in the U.S. Capitol.
Very good. Mark's Facebook page and the website will be linked up here from our program page. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Good stuff. And thank you again.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, lots of numbers, lots of events and connections to ponder and think about. We'll be back in just a few days with John Enoch on Radio 314. Then we have John B. Wells and Vincent Freeman coming on as well. A big thanks to all our members. If you're a new member or a dedicated listener who's been with us for a while, we do appreciate all of you, and our hat goes off to you for making this possible and for helping us to expand and grow in our productions. So thank you. Have a great rest of your day or evening. We'll speak to you in just a few days. Take it easy.